Why didn't the skeleton go to the dance? Michaela? He had no body to dance with. And he didn't have the guts to ask. Didn't expect a twofer. Now, you just thought you were going to get one bad one. I gave you two bad ones. I know you wouldn't like it, but I will tell you, when it comes to loneliness, there's not a lot of good jokes out there because, frankly, loneliness is not really all that funny. We've all experienced it in one way, shape, or form, and it's not fun. And I think, you know, even though it's not fun, is loneliness worthy of a sermon? I mean, that's one of those things. We talk about loneliness. We understand kind of what it is, but is it worthy of a sermon? I believe it is, otherwise I wouldn't be bringing it to you, because I truly believe that loneliness is becoming an epidemic in our country. Now, probably the majority of you, I would dare say, don't think along those lines. You've never come to a conclusion that something like loneliness could be an epidemic, but I want to kind of make my case, and then I want to show you why we as Christians need to be concerned about it and why we need to actively fight against it. First off, what is loneliness? I found a great definition as I was researching for this sermon. It says this: while common definitions of loneliness describe it as a state of solitude or being alone, loneliness is actually a state of mind. Loneliness causes people to feel empty, alone, and unwanted. People who are lonely often crave human contact, but their state of mind makes it more difficult to form connections with other people. Loneliness, according to many experts, is not necessarily about being alone. Instead, if you feel alone and isolated, then that is how loneliness plays into your state of mind. So why is it becoming an epidemic? Why would I say something that extreme? In the 1980s, 20% of Americans would categorize themselves as being lonely. Today, that number is double. 40% of Americans would describe themselves as being lonely. And that's not just I had a lonely moment, that they would describe themselves as being lonely. And I read that statistic. I mean, it's so incredibly sad, especially when today we seem to be more connected than ever. I mean, social media, whether you love it or hate it, it allows us to at least see what other people show us as parts of their lives, right? And so we're interconnected through Facebook, and the old timers call it the interweb. You know, so we get that, but so much of it's fake. And I'm even going to go as to say, if you're already feeling lonely and you are spending time on social media, it is making it worse and not better. Why? Because, you know what? The life that people put on Facebook is not their real life, right? When you're on vacation, you put it on Facebook. When you're at that expensive restaurant, that's when you put it on Facebook. You're not putting on Facebook the can of SpaghettiOs you had for lunch that you're slamming down in 5 minutes before you had to run to pick up the kids somewhere. Nobody wants to see that on Facebook. So, social media. But here's the one, and I knew that loneliness was an issue, but as I did the research for this sermon, it is incredibly, I mean, here's the scary part. In a study of 100,000 people, they found that living with loneliness increases your odds of early death by 45%. Now, just do the math there. 40% of Americans have a 45% increased chance for early death. Now, put that up against other things. I would argue that there's not too many things out there statistically that are as dangerous as loneliness when you put it together. Here's a couple of just other important facts about this. So here's another issue with loneliness. It's still largely stigmatized against, right? If you are a lonely person, you either perceive the fact that you're a loser. If people don't care about you, people don't want to be involved with you, you're either a loser, you're weak, you're an outcast, and so what? If you're dealing with loneliness, you don't admit it to anybody else. Why? Because you think they're going to look down on you. And so here, what does that do? It makes it worse, right? Not talking about it. And as our loneliness increases, they have found, so does your defensiveness. So here you're lonely, so you become more defensive, which causes you to be more suspicious of social contact. And guess what? people often find what you're looking for. So if you're out there and you think, I'm going to put myself out there, but it's going to go bad, guess what? By and large, you're going to be right. And so here people put themselves out. It becomes a negative interaction, which in turn reduces the willingness to try that interaction again. And so it becomes a vicious cycle to break. Because I'm lonely, I'm defensive, it's going to be bad, I reach out, it was bad, so then I just withdraw more and more. And it goes on and on. And again, I knew that loneliness was an issue, but when I started looking at the numbers, it's shocking. And there's way more research out there. Just Google it. I mean, there's talks on YouTube, there's research, there's blogs, there's all sorts of stuff. The bottom line is this: I believe loneliness is a huge issue in this day and age. And here's the thing, it's not the way God intended us to live. In the very beginning, God planned for us to live in relationship and community. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. Now, have you ever read this and considered how in the world are we like God? Because it appears that the list of how we're not like God, in my mind, is a lot longer than the way we are. None of you are omnipotent. None of you are perfect. None of you are all-powerful. None of you are all-hearing, all-knowing, all-seeing. You're not, I mean, when we compare ourselves to God, it's you're comparing yourself to an ant. But I will tell you, there's a few ways that we are like God, and I would argue that one of the biggest ways is we were created to be relational. Look at that verse. Let us make humankind in our image. This is the Trinity. This is God in community getting together and say, oh, when we create man, how are we going to do it? This is an important aspect of that. The community, the relationship that we have. Then we see that next verse, 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper as a partner. Now, yes, on one level, it's talking about that man and woman and that relationship between husband and wife, but that phrase, it is not good that man should be alone, is one of those loaded terms. Mankind is meant to live in community. We are meant to live in relationship. And when we don't, there's something wrong with that. There is something vital lacking in our lives. Again, 45% increase in chance of early death. Feeling lonely speaks to that. Even when you have that feeling, we know that something in our deep parts of our soul, that something is not right in our lives. And this has been, loneliness is nothing new. Yes, it seems like 20% to 40% the last X number of years that it's increased, but it's been around from the very beginning. Psalm 25:16, this is David. Turn to me. He's crying out to God. Turn to me. Be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. I'm even going to go as far as to say this. Loneliness didn't happen before the fall. I believe loneliness came in with sin. When Adam and Eve were in the garden before they ate the fruit, do you think they felt lonely? How can that be? There were only two people on the planet. But you're right. They walked with God. They were in a perfect state, so they didn't have that place in their lives where they were lacking. Thus, loneliness is a part of a broken creation. It is a part of a fallen world. I will even go as far as to say that it is a tool of the evil one. 1 Peter 5:8 says what? It calls the devil, that's that verse that says the devil is like a roaring lion, looking out whom he can devour. Have you ever watched the show? The lions hunting the herd, who are they picking off? The ones that they've separated from the crowd. Why? Because they know if they run into a pile of wildebeest, the wildebeest are going to pound them to death. But if I can call one out, if I can separate one from the herd, guess what? The job gets way easier. Satan will use loneliness, what? Will to drive us into insulation. If he can get us to believe that God doesn't care and nobody else cares, look, the truth of who this is and the idea of God being love and all, so much truth in here, it goes out the window. Satan wants you to feel alone. He wants you to feel lonely. So if loneliness is not what God intended for us, how do we deal with it? Well, first, I think we have to start understanding what God says about it in his word. Psalm 26:8. Trust in him at all times. Oh, people, pour your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. And again, there are so many verses, I think, in the Bible that seem to be common sense to me, but I think when we are suffering, especially if we have been lonely for any length of time, we tend to forget these kind of simple truths. If you are hurting in this area, we are to pour our heart out to God. We are to trust that he hears us and knows us and is willing to help. I mean, are you struggling? Run to the Father. And the sad thing is so many times in life, that's like our last case scenario, right? Something's happened and whatnot, and we try to fix it in so many different ways, and yet our lovingly Heavenly Father's just standing there going, hey, here I am. I love you better than any other human on the planet. I know you more intimately than any other human on the planet. I know your struggles. I know your strengths and everything. And he calls us, even his name, Abba, Daddy, Father, speaks of his concern and how he wants to love you as his child. So the starting point is what? Prayer, get to his word, be in Christian music. However you connect with the Father, that needs to be your first step. Run to the Father if you're feeling this. Because the Bible is full of places where God shows us what he intends us to live like, but here's just two of them. Deuteronomy 31:6 and Isaiah 41:10. Be strong and bold, have no fear or dread of them, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will withhold you with my righteous right hand. Now, both of these verses are out of context. Both of them are speaking to the children of Israel who are facing the enemy, but both of them tell us the exact truth that says, God is with you. And that is true no matter what. No matter if you're close to him and seeking him, or you've rebelled and turned away and run away. Whether you know him or not, whether you're a Christian or an atheist, it does not change the truth of these words. God is always there. And plus, we get the bonus that, look, we don't have to live in fear. He offers us strength. Strength enough to what? To fight against the demons of loneliness. And because of that, we can live out 1 Peter 5:7. And I love this. This is the verse that comes right before the verse that talks about the roaring lion. Cast all your anxiety because he cares for you. Does loneliness count as anxiety? You bet it does. Because they go hand in hand. If you're feeling alone on the planet, I guarantee your anxiety levels are incredibly high. So run to the Father. He's there. He's available. Prayer, word, worship, connect, if it's in nature, all those things. But if we are totally honest, and I think we know this to be true, if we are truly dealing with loneliness, so often it's hard to even take the first step. We might know that God is there and available, but man, you can just feel so isolated that it even feels like God is not listening. And so I think even though he offers us all these things, he goes beyond just saying, here I am. Look at Psalm 68:5 and 6. God is in his holy temple. He is the father to children whose fathers have died. He takes care of women whose husbands have died. God gives lonely people family. He sets prisoners free. They go out singing. But those who refuse to obey him live in the land that is baked by sun. God gives lonely people family. God understands what people need. Again, he created you. He created you like himself. He created you for relationship and community. And God wants, if you are struggling with loneliness, there are people with loneliness, his intention is to give you family. 40% of Americans are lonely. Now, I will argue, a certain percentage of that is in church. All right? Just because you're a Christian, just because you attend church doesn't mean that you will never be lonely. So when I look at that short phrase, I see two different people here, right? You have the lonely people, and then you have family. Look, if you're here this morning, you're one or the other. You're either dealing with and trying to defeat loneliness, or you are a member of the family, you feel like it, and you are operating like that. And here, so when we look at us as a church, and it's the local body, it's the universal body, we are called to live in community. And you know this. If you ever are out somewhere and the first time you've met someone and it comes out that they are a Christian or whatnot, you feel a connection with them. That's because they are either your brother or sister in Christ. And we are too. That's why we need to keep showing up. Not just on Sunday mornings. You are to be investing your life into the lives of the people you share the pews with. We are called to do life together because here's the truth. 1 Corinthians 12:26. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. We are connected. We are connected as a church in ways that we will not fully understand until we have been glorified and brought to the other side. Over and over and over again in the Bible, it tells us how we are to take care of each other within the walls of the church. Holy Spirit moment. How are you doing? How are you doing with this? If you sat down and assessed how you're investing in your lives with those around you, how are you doing? And I get it. We are busy, and the world keeps calling, and we are entrenched with all this stuff, but how are those excuses going to land when you're standing before God someday, and he says, why don't you know any church folk besides their names and saying hi on a Sunday morning? Why didn't I gave you brothers and sisters? I gave you a family to do life with. Why don't you know them? We are called to give our lives to one another because when one member suffers, we all suffer. But I would argue when we look at that 40% of Americans, I would say of that 40%, I would hope and pray that more of those are unchurched than not. Because if you are a member of the church, again, I would hope that at least you feel a certain degree of community and being there. So again, we as a church, we need to continue to step up. We need to continue to invest and fight for knowing each other and doing life with one another. But what about that 40% that are outside these walls? I will tell you that if you are a Christian, you are called to do something about it. And there's a simple answer in the scripture. I'm going to quick read three different sets of scriptures to you. First, Acts 10:24. This is the when Peter was called to the Roman centurion, and he's prepping for it. The following day, they came to Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. John 1:43, 45, and 46, Jesus Christ is calling the disciples. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have him about from whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come and see. The woman at the well, Jesus Christ rocked her world. What did she do? John 4:28 through 30. Woman left her jar, went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see. Man who told me everything I have done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. What do we see in all three of those scriptures? The simple act of invitation. Invitation. And you know the other striking thing as I was reading over those? None of those people had answers. I mean, Cornelius, again, powerful leader. This whole new faith thing, that's why he called Peter. He didn't know what Peter was going to say, but what did he do before that fact? He called his relatives and friends together. Philip, all he knew was that Jesus Christ had come. Follow me. He went to Nathanael, and you know, Nathanael's like, come on, Nazareth, are you kidding me? All Philip could say is what? Let's go and see. What do we got to lose? The woman at the well. She had lived a horrendous life. And even that, when you read that story, Jesus Christ calls her out on it, but he offers living water. She runs back into town. Again, we know the story. She was going to the well. Why? So she wouldn't run into other ladies because she was an outcast. She didn't give a rip. She runs into town and just tells everybody, look, you need to come and see. We as Christians are called to invite and engage others for Christ, but let's be honest. We struggle with this. The fear of rejection, the fear of not knowing what to say. We have excuses way more than what we want. But I want you to see two things. Again, number one, that biblical example of just come and see. They didn't have the answers. They just knew that they had something that they needed to point people to. Here's the other thing. Science, I think, has helped show us early on the issue that loneliness is truly becoming. But I think science is also showing us part of the answer. And again, the simplicity of it is inviting someone. Now, why don't we? We hesitate, often some of us hesitate, because we have made the false connection between the value of our invitation and the outcome of the invitation. There is a false connection with whether the invite worked on depending on whether they show up or not. Notice I call that a false connection. Because here it is. Psychologists are finding out that the practice of invitation is healing for both the inviter and the invitee. And here's the thing that you really need to grasp. It's regardless if the invitation is accepted or not. Why? Because if I invite you to something, it means I care enough about you to give a rip. Regardless of what it is. It means that I've noticed you and I am inviting you into something that is part of my life. And if you are dealing with loneliness, you know the power of an invitation. Even if, you know what, here, I go to the church. I'd love for you to come and visit. Our church is having a chili cook-off. Hey, why don't you come? Even if they hate chili, you have taken the time to stop and to invite them into sharing your life. 40% of Americans are dealing with loneliness. The church is in a battle in America. If you haven't seen it, you're not paying attention, right? We have people that are going, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. There are all sorts of things. This is where the church needs to stand in 2017. If loneliness is on the rise and all we have to do is to help that, is to invite somebody to church, whether they ever show up or not, are you kidding me? There is not a person on the planet who calls Christ Savior who can't do a simple invitation of come and see. There is not an excuse big enough for any of us not to simply, again, regardless if the invitation is accepted or not, we need to keep inviting because it costs you nothing, and even if they reject it, it's a benefit to you. Did you pick up on that? Psychologist says it's good for the inviter and the invitee. We need to make this a discipline, a habit. This is a way of honoring God and worshiping God by simply taking a moment out of our day and saying, hey, come and see. The power of inviting is a fantastic way to defeat loneliness. You are a child of God that is called to it. Make it a habit. Make it a spiritual discipline. And regardless, the best part of this entire sermon is it works regardless if the invitation is accepted or not. Let's help defeat loneliness in this community. Amen? Amen. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, you are a good and amazing God, and your love for us overwhelms us, and we are amazed by who you are. We are amazed by all you do. And Lord, we come and we confess that we are hesitant when it comes to inviting, engaging people for Jesus, and we know we're supposed to, and we know that we are your servants, and we are your hands and feet, and we are to be about your business. And yet the evil one, man, he hammers us with it, and so we are hesitant. But the truth of the matter is Lord, it just a simple invite can mean the world to someone. So for all of us, help us to get past the stuff in our way that we would regularly just simply like, hey, I love my church, why don't you come check it out? Hey, my church is doing this special event, why don't you just come check it out? Lord, give us your strength, give us your courage, give us your boldness, and help us to be your beacon here in 2017. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.